Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Arlene Cohen.
You're listening to Fiber Talk, the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists and other folks. And this twice-weekly thing is rapidly becoming an everyday thing.
Yeah.
I say twice-weekly anymore. That's not accurate anymore. but first, before we talk about why that is, sponsored by Fire Poppies. Fire Poppies sponsoring everyone where Arlene and I get together. Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yay for that. So Susan Winter at Fire Poppies, who was our guest 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then our guest on our live show at Nashville, firepoppies.com, Lowry Stands. I just call your attention to Lowry Stands. She is now handling Lowry Stands in the States.
Oh.
Yes.
Excellent.
So if you have been thinking about getting a Lowry stand and you think, oh, I got to go deal with international things and shipping and time and everything else, You call Susan at the, I have the number right here, 843-225-7208 or firepoppies.com. You can get yourself a Lowry stand or accessories right here in the States. So that's pretty huge. Pretty huge. Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
So contact her for that. And then also, in addition to all the other wonderful things she has, she is now doing signups for automatic delivery of the Hands-On Design Secret Santa series, the Heart in Hand Christmas Square Dance series, and the Amy Bruchen designs. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Thank you. 360 days of warm, woolly welcomes. So you call the store and give shipping and payment information, and you can get on the list so that you get automatic delivery of any of those three series. Secret Santa by Hands-On Design, Christmas Square Dance by Heart in Hand, and 365 days of warm, woolly welcomes by Amy Bruchen. So that starts in June, so you can be ahead of the curve there. But all that at Fire Poppies. Plus those Lowry stands. Yeah. If you're looking at a stand, let's make sure Susan has to keep calling England to order more.
Yeah. That's absolutely.
Yeah. Let's just do that. Yeah, pile up on her. Let's make sure she, I need more. Let's have that. That'd be cool. so thanks to, Fire Poppies for sponsoring. And yeah, this, okay. So we have the Wednesday and Sunday shows. And then we have now the Friday night live show that once a month becomes either a Saturday Stitch with Gary or a Saturday Finish with Vonna show. And then now during this period of quarantine, whatever level we're quarantining in wherever you are in the world, Vonna and I are doing a live quarantine stitch hour. And we're starting tonight, Wednesday night. We're starting tonight, so that'll be Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So there'll end up being four live shows a week. So Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday for the quarantine show, and then Friday night live. So four live shows, and then Wednesday for this show, and then Sunday. So Tuesday and Thursday we're taking off. Sorry. there's just a limit. but anyway, the quarantine stitch hour has two purposes. One, everybody's at home stitching, well, working at home, stuck at home, supposed to stay at home, whatever it is. And so that gives us lots of stitching time. But we felt like it would be fun to have an opportunity to have some interaction with other stitchers without personal contact. Mm-hmm. So we're doing these shows for an hour, live shows, and they're just going to be Vaughn and I stitching. So what we're trying to do is, for instance, tonight it'll be me doing Anya's Day cross stitch, and then Vaughn is, I think, is going to do Anasazi song. I think she's going to work on that, so a little needlepoint there. So we're not going to both sit there and do the same project. And then I'll switch back and forth, and we can ask questions and so on and so forth. So we're going to try and do it that way. But there's another purpose to these shows, and these have a purpose, and that is to call attention to our local needlework shops.
Yes.
And the fact that many of them are closing for the same reasons we're staying at home, and that is to limit interaction with each other. And stores that don't interact with people don't sell things. So the purpose of this is to call attention to that and to encourage you to support the stores through online ordering. So we have several sponsors, and they are all putting together specials for you, either just discounts or some other kind of a special. And then as of the recording this morning, I've already had three designers contact me. And this is out of their own doing, not out of their own volition, not something that we have approached them. Three designers have contacted me to offer charts and or kits that we can give away during these shows. Because and the last designer that contacted me, well, actually two of them now have said they want to help out. They want to help these stores out because they realize these stores who don't have people walking in all day, every day, are going to need some help. So we got to keep these stores going. We got to keep driving business to them. So that's why that's the reason. I mean, yeah, there's it's fun for us Stitchers to get together and ask questions and interact and so on and so forth. And we'll do that 4 days a week. That'll be fun. But we have to keep in mind that without these stores, this hobby, yeah, doesn't go well. So we need to support them. And the stores are stepping up and coming up with things to entice you to shop at their places. And now designers, and I really applaud designers that I've heard from them, because I mean, we have not, that was not part of the package. We did not approach designers about participating, but already have some who have said, hey, can we send some things you can give away? And that's fantastic. So we'll have giveaways in the shows as we go along. So you'll want to tune in for all of that. Plus, you know, Vaughn and I just have fun. So so that's 8 o'clock, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday nights. And that's on our YouTube channel. So 8 o'clock, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's 8 o'clock Eastern PM. I keep forgetting to say PM because then the people overseas go AM or PM.
Mm-hmm.
8 PM Eastern time, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday nights. And then 8 o'clock PM Friday night is our normal Friday night live show. So 4 nights at 8 o'clock PM each week, we'll be doing a live show, and the quarantine live shows are quarantine stitch hours are we're going to do through the end of April, and then we're going to see where we're at, because as you can imagine, there's a lot of time for Vaughn and I to suck up. So we'll see where we're at. So, but anyway, through the end of April, we're going to go, and then we'll see what we do after that. But so hope everybody will join us for those things, and then also call your attention to our May 1 Hannah Longstreth 1805 Stitch Along. And that's Queenstown Sampler Designs, Barbara Hudson. Beautiful, beautiful sampler. A reproduction sampler, my favorite from Nashville. Reproduction sampler, my favorite, without question. Hannah Longstreth. And that is Barbara Hudson's great niece, is also named Hannah Longstreth, and she is a descendant of the one who did this sampler originally. Mm-hmm. And so funds from the sale of that go to help young Hannah with her medical school costs. So that's kind of cool. I mean, that's something Barbara's doing for herself, but that's just kind of a neat tie-in in that where if you purchase it, you're helping someone who is a descendant of the person who actually did this sampler. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. Kits available. I'm sure any of your local stores will do it. Kits available. We're doing this in conjunction with Sassy Jacks and 15% off from Kim on the full kit there. And then July 5, which is Vanna's birthday, and we are no longer allowed to say the age, though it's one more than 49. Royal Garden, Debbie Rowley's Royal Garden Charted Canvas Needlepoint Project is what we're going to start on July 5. So you'll want to get in on that. And if you've never done charted canvas needlepoint, it's a ton of fun. And it's a nice way to stretch yourself. And that's a beautiful piece. So check that out, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Debbie, and Debbie, well, we all know Debbie Rowley's my favorite designer of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have coming up.
That's a lot.
No boredom here.
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm-mm. Speaking of charted canvas needlepoint.
Actually, can I just say something before we speak of charted canvas?
No, you're here and you can't speak. That's how it works.
I had written down something I forgot to mention to you before we were talking before. So, but I just wanted to mention it now. I'm glad, like, in a small way, addressing the elephant in the room that the world is a little topsy-turvy right now, but I'm glad we have podcasts like this to kind of keep us all sane and keep us all, like, on a good mindset and, you know, to keep us enjoying the things that we do enjoy and keep us centered. I just wanted to bring attention to a Facebook page that the Woodlawn Needlework Show did what many places have done, which is they needed to close. The Needlework Show usually goes on the full month of March. The last few days, they have started posting pictures, and they've been calling it the Virtual Needlework Show. And each day, they've posted like one of the main big category winners. I hope they continue it. They usually don't show pictures from that show only because they have issues with getting permission and stuff like that. So I don't know how they're doing it this year, but if you are on Facebook, to go follow Woodlawn, Woodlawn House, Woodlawn Pope Leahy House, you would need to kind of look, get that exact, but it's the Woodlawn House that is in Virginia. Get on their Facebook page, like it, and you will see some beautiful needlework coming through. You know, they seem to be doing one picture a day. This was their third or fourth day that I saw today. The winners from the show, like I said, I hope they keep posting them because it's just a new outlet, and it's a virtual needlework show, and we should all be enjoying it.
So that's pretty neat.
Yes. Yes.
Now you, do I recall correctly, you've been to that show?
I have been to that show. I have entered pieces for many years. I don't have a piece entered this year. And there have been times that I have been able to get down there during I'm in New Jersey. Down there is the Northern Virginia in the DC area. Woodlawn is the historic home of George Washington's granddaughter, or Martha. Oh, I get the genealogy incorrect. It's either George Washington's granddaughter married Martha Washington's grandnephew or vice versa. Anyway, it's one or the other.
It's a relative of George and Martha.
Exactly. Originally way, way, way back, it's 3 miles from Mount Vernon. And that was land, like the land for Woodlawn was given to them, to this young couple from George Washington. So it's in Northern Virginia, outside of Washington, D.C. I want to say they've maybe been doing this show 60 years, something like that.
Wow.
Quite a long time. Yes. And the times I've got, it's just phenomenal. It's amazing. The work that comes in that is on display, and it's all in a historic home. So they have, you know, there's certain places where they do hang things on the wall, you know, appropriately, but they also lean pieces against the bed and against the furniture. And they do have some display cases as appropriate. It's a wonderful thing to witness and to go to. It's been a few years since I've been able to get down there, but I love it the times that I have been able to go. And a little plug for In Stitches, which is the, oh God, I hope I have that name. Yes. In Stitches, the local needlework shop, which is just a mile down the road from there, because it is the owner there who has taken over. She's very involved in the needlework show. She's taken over the mail-in entries, and I always did mail-in entries. So it was huge thanks to her that, allowed that element of the show to still go on. Cause so many shows that you hear about, or even like your local county fairs or whatever, you have to walk in that entry. And if you live at a distance and you can't be there on a certain day, well, oh well. And one of the things that I think makes Woodlawn special is that because there's mail-in entries allowed, because certain stores will allow customers to bring their entries to the store, and then the store will drive in a whole bunch of entries, it just allows for a greater breadth of entries. And it just is wonderful from that. So, yes, in future years, the whole month of March, go to Woodlawn, go see it, go enter into it. But for the time being, follow Woodlawn on Facebook and enjoy some beautiful needlework pieces that are being shown on there. So,
yeah, because I recall, I'm sure it was you, because I'm pretty sure you're the only one I've ever talked to about it, but I'm not sure. But it, because they have them in these rooms and you're touring through a house, each room is like this treasure hunt discovery thing.
Absolutely.
Because they're just everywhere in a room. It's not like a gallery where they're just lined up on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they usually have the rooms by themes. So like there's a room that has all the Christmas things, and there's a room that might have all the things related with animals. And, I'm not remembering things very carefully. And they also, and one of the things that does make a challenge, though, is that if you've entered a piece and you have gotten, let's say, a third place ribbon, and you're really excited and you're kind of curious who got the second and the first place in that category, it's not so easy to find it, because it literally could be anywhere in the house, because its category, its certain classification literally could fall anywhere. But they do a very nice job in the way they display all of this. It's a wonderful thing to see. It really is.
And because of its stature, you tend to get the cream of the cream in terms of needlework.
Yes, I would also say that, as I knew about Woodlawn well before I learned about the ANG seminar exhibit.
Yeah.
So because of the ANG, I've learned a little bit more about understanding the difference between, original designs and commercial designs, meaning commercial being when you're stitching from a pattern, as opposed to original, meaning something you are designing yourself, the difference between professionals and non-professionals. Each of these two different shows that I know of have their different rules and their different ways of classifying. And Woodlawn definitely is significantly more, if I don't know what percentage, but significantly commercial patterns. I don't remember clearly, but, just significantly more commercial, which is wonderful and fine. And so you're appreciating the stitching, and you know, for the ones that you can get up close, you can, you know, see beautiful stitches. I just don't remember that many original designs. And if I'm remembering correctly, I don't think they classify the difference between a professional and a non-professional. So your pieces could be, up against, you know, a professional teacher. So it's every competition aspect of needlework does have their slightly different rules, but it's just wonderful. It really is.
All right. Well, it's certainly on my bucket list someday.
Yep.
Someday. Yep.
In the meantime, follow Woodlawn on the Facebook. They seem to be an unknown right now. How long they're going to keep the pieces shipped out, who knows? But for the time being, they're showing pictures online. Enjoy them.
Okay. And I'll find a link and put it in the notes for this show so that people can go to it.
That would be great.
Because, you know, why not?
Absolutely.
So you finished Curdy Biggs, A Different View, your version of it.
Yes.
And you flew through that sucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you literally flew through that thing.
Yeah.
So it came out beautiful. I mean, I think you really nailed it. But I'm curious, and there's no but. It's just I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
When you got all done with that, did it come out the way you wanted? Did you then sit back and say, "Oh, maybe I'd have done it this way next time?" Mm-hmm. 'Cause you modified that quite a bit.
I think that there were different parts, different places that, because like one thing that happens when, and this has happened before to me when I'm modifying a design, but I think it's also true when I'm stitching my own designs. And sometimes when you get further into it and I start making decisions about color, this one wasn't colors, about thread choices, Or in this case, it was, am I putting gold here or red here kind of thing. I cut because I get more a little solidified in those choices as I go along. And then I realized in this case, the first octagon that I did, I maybe should have put gold there and instead I've got red there. Am I going to take it out and replace it with the gold, or am I going to replace this thread with that thread? I ended up not bothering, for lack of better words. There wasn't anything that truly stood out that made me think it's going to definitely look better if I change it.
Yeah.
But I did acknowledge that after having stitched the different octagons, I might have stitched the first one slightly differently, only because I kind of evolved my rules, for lack of better words, as I kept going. You know, I decided that I needed a very velvet in each of the four, I don't want to say corners because they're octagons, but I needed a very velvet in the four directions. I needed the shiny fireworks in each of the four areas. I had these things that started to evolve after I did it two or three times. And, you know, I needed to make sure, well, was that still true in the first one kind of thing? One thing that came up, and I think I mentioned this one other time we were talking about it, the thread that I used for the border, which was petite silk lamé braid, which is wonderful and great. I basically, it's a rainbow gallery thread. I basically used an entire card or nearly so for all the border. And my LNS did not have that same color at the point when I wanted to get another card of it. And sure, I could have ordered it. Sure, I could have gone online and found it somewhere else. There's ways to do that these days. But just in the moment when I wanted to just keep moving, I just kind of made the decision, you know what? I'm going to get by without it. And in a lot of respects, I don't regret that decision. But I also know there are places where that thread would have been the perfect thread to use.
Yeah.
It would have complemented the border. It would have been the right size thread, the right level of shininess. because I just made the decision, I wanted to keep moving. I didn't want to wait a week till somebody could mail it to me or, you know, whatever. And it was fine. You know, again, I don't think I've really detracted from the whole overall image, the whole overall big picture, just because I didn't use more of it. But I do question if I had, like on that day that I wanted to buy it, if I had been able to buy another card of it, where I would have used it and how things might have looked a little different. You know, right. That's just, you know, a little bit of fate that plays in sometimes that, yeah. You know, you think about.
Well, see, I'm sure people are thinking, geez, Gary, get off this thing. You know, how many times are we going to talk about Arlene's different view? But it isn't that design that I find so interesting, because you've done it twice now, and mm-hmm. I think very effectively both times. It's this evolution as stitchers from lockstep, follow what the designer did,
mm-hmm.
to, I don't like that color. I'm going to change it and put something else in. And then, you know, I think I'm going to do a whole different colorway for this design. And then the next level, for me, at least in my head, is what you've done was, all right, I'm going to take this design and I'm going to change it.
Mm.
And I'm going to make it different. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to put my own colorway in. And so the mental process of doing that intrigues me.
Mm.
Because just those kinds of things, because there's this kind of free form approach that you take with some loose rules. Mm-hmm. And then as you make your way through it, you adjust.
Yep.
And I find that whole process quite fascinating, because to me, that's, you know, that's a level of stitching that takes you toward making it your own,
mm-hmm.
starting with a base, making it your own. And then if you're so inclined at some point, that kind of enables you to start doing your own designing,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because you, those mental processes are what a designer would have to go through to figure out, you know, this here. And, oh, I can't get that thread, but maybe I can do this. And so to me, that whole progression from lockstep to designing is interesting. And you know, you're doing this at one level in that progression, and that mental process just intrigues me, because because it you know, and then it produces a piece that's your piece, absolutely your piece, your design. You put it together that started from someone else's, and you made it into your own. And I mean, I just think it's interesting to learn from you what you went through with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just me.
No, I certainly am one to always encourage, as you are, to encourage people to try a different color, try a different threads, you know, what, try a different fabric, you know, whatever appeals to you. I do that in my designing. I do that when I'm sitting with members of my stitch group and somebody says, you know, what do you think of this color, this whatever? And I think the more we can get that message out there in the stitching world, all the better. And I love it when I'm seeing people post on Instagram, Facebook, wherever, of, you know, I changed this or I did it this way. And it's just, it's so refreshing that that there's that much creativity and openness in our stitching world. And just encourage anyone who has not yet, I'm going to use that word yet, has not yet strayed from a pattern to give it a try.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's just it. Yeah. What's it going to hurt?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't like it, you take it out.
Mm-hmm.
It really comes all apart and you just remove it all and start over.
Yeah,
it's just thread, needles, and ground cloth. And, mm-hmm. But it's just fun, and I think people should see that, should be exposed to that kind of thing. So I'm so glad that you share these things as you're progressing through so people can be exposed to it. Because you take, for instance, in any Debbie Rowley chart, she'll have a table. And in the table on the left side is what she used for her, the design, the way she stitched it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has a blank set of fields in a table on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she literally puts it there. All right, for this thread that Debbie used, I'm going to use this.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can build your own table and then tie it into the chart. And I don't know if Curdy does the same thing, but I mean, that is a designer saying, please change it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yep.
please do something that makes it your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that's just, you know, that's that extra dimension of fun. And then, because you take, that's needle, you know, charted canvas needlework, but take just a basic cross stitch design,
mm-hmm.
Any kind of scene, you know, it's a red house there. Well, I really like blue houses. Then make it blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does it hurt? It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the designer did it that way, there's no law that says that you have to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, go ahead, make it blue. I remember, I don't know why it sticks out, one of those little scene things that Vonna did, and it was a bike, and she decided to put a basket with some flowers on it. Had nothing to do, you know, she just wanted a basket with flowers on it.
Mm-hmm.
So she did, she made it up,
mm-hmm.
You know, and borders. How many times have we seen people say, I'm going to put a border on this, or, I don't care for that border. I'm going to do my own border and you know, go for it.
Go. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I just think people need to be encouraged to do that. And,
yes.
I think it adds an extra element of fun, but it also, when you're done, you can hold that up and say, yeah, yeah, that's me. That's mm-hmm. me. Speaks to me. Yeah. So, yeah. So I just applaud you for doing that. And to me, it's most interesting that in both of the Curdy Biggs ones that you've done, you've taken things out.
Yeah.
And that process of removing without having the design come all apart is also intriguing to me.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could do that. I mean, Curdy's is, her designs tend to be rather dense, so you can get away with that. Some you couldn't do that. You take apart and pretty soon you'd have big gaps, but.
Yeah. I didn't take out as much in this one as I did in the cathedral, which is the other one. I think I would say that. But there were a few places where I just thought, there's too much going on here. Let me just remove one aspect of it. And mm-hmm. again, just a personal decision. That's all it was.
Yeah. I just think that process is fun
mm-hmm.
and adds a different thing. So bravo.
Thank you.
Yay,
thank
you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nashville.
Nashville.
Okay, at some point we're going to quit talking about Nashville. But you went to Nashville this year to see what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of deciding if you want to exhibit next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, just in general, your reaction to the show, because this is the first time you've been to the show, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, I feel like, and I know some other people would agree, but thanks to you and Fiber Talk, I feel like I've had a little virtual indication of what the show is like from the past couple of years and your videos and so on. But there's nothing like actually being there and really right. seeing what it's all about. I'm so glad I did what I did. I met at least two or three designers that were new to Nashville this year that did what I was doing this year. They did it last year. They came as visitors. They went around. They talked, made connections, all of that, and just sort of set themselves up for success with all that base knowledge to be exhibitors for this year. That was certainly very comforting for me to know there's plenty of people that have done that kind of thing. Some of the basics that I had known, again, from you, from other sources there in the whole idea of the Embassy Suites Hotel. There's a big open atrium. There's four floors, all the designers and thread companies and all of the associated connections are there. Everyone sets up a store in their rooms. The doors are open. You're going in and out. Store owners come from all around the country and go shopping. But it was just great to see it all in person and to witness and to watch it all. The things that I hadn't in any way thought about ahead of time, that granted, had I actually been planning to be an exhibitor that year, I would have thought about. But I hadn't put zero thought into ahead of time that were so helpful to witness how transactions worked, how designers set up their invoice sheets, how the store owners and the exhibitors interacted and the conversations that happened. And here are my new designs and here are a few of my other ones that came out this year. Certainly how the different exhibitors use their space, how the rooms were set up. There is really quite a variety. Some of them really do a huge decorating amazingness, and others are a little bit more basic, and both kinds are okay. There is a difference between those who are able to drive to Nashville and those who, for all kinds of reasons, need to fly and therefore ship everything. Therefore that might put some limitations into what you could do in the decor of your set up in your room. But that was certainly a question that I was asking when I was talking to folks. But I witnessed enough variety of how people set up their rooms that was so helpful to me. That was huge. I certainly in no way wanted to interrupt any sales transactions that were happening, but it was very helpful to listen in to those sales transactions. But when nothing else was going on and I was talking to a designer in the room or in some cases a shop owner out in the hallway, just trying to learn everything that goes on and some of the smaller things that, again, I hadn't really thought about ahead of time. And then some of the bigger things that I wondered about how do they decide how many charts to bring? How do they handle, how do they handle when they sell out? How do they do their pre-orders? How does it, all these kinds of things that are, some of it, there's a lot, there's a support network that happens ahead of time among the exhibitors. There's people there to help you. Ways to find out the exact size of the window that is in your room so you could create a window display. There's plenty of designers that, so while I did have a fair number of conversations or I had a number of conversations with, because I was very curious to talk to those who were new there this year, I also had a fair number of conversations with very established designers, who were all very kind and very much wanting to be helpful and supportive to someone who was new and, potentially, might be there next year as a exhibitor. Those are a lot of the first few things that are coming to my mind in terms of my personal mission of being there.
Yeah, yeah.
really accomplished everything that I wanted to accomplish by being there. It's just so helpful to me. I'm the kind of person that really needed to see it all to really visualize actually being there, you know, to be an exhibitor, to have it all, you know, to put it all together, right. Kind of.
Yeah. I was curious also, as a magazine editor, some magazine editors read competitor magazines cover to cover. They know everything that we publish, everything every other magazine in the market covers. Mm-hmm. And I have never done that. I'll leaf through competitive magazines just to get a gist of what they're doing. But I intentionally don't sit down and read them because I don't want what they're doing influencing what I do with the magazine for which I'm responsible. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to go, oh, so-and-so did that. We need to do that. Or, I'll never do that because maybe I should do it. You know, I just don't want that influence in my head. So I don't let it happen. And I let the marketplace dictate what I do and what I think, and then what I do in the magazine, what I think our audience likes or will find useful. And so then I look at that from a designer perspective, where you're in a building literally full of every kind of needlework design, particularly cross stitch, that you could imagine. Mm-hmm. And so as you see that, I wonder what goes through your head. Do you start to get ideas? Do you start to have influences in your head about your designs? What happens to you?
Well, so I had it's so interesting. And now I'm trying to remember if it was you or somebody else who said to me on Sunday, so are you coming away with all kinds of design ideas? And I was so kind of startled by the question because the genuine answer was actually no. I mean, I had all kinds of ideas and little lists running and all, but it had really almost nothing to do with design ideas. And because I was so focused on all the other aspects of this. Uh-huh. And so genuinely, I was certainly going into rooms and appreciating really from an artistic point of view, some of the beautiful things that I saw. I'm just going to throw out there. For example, Beth Twist's Consider the Lilies, that large new piece that she did, loved that. The Rosewood Manor room, you know, any number of those designs, love those. Ink circles, love those designs. What else? The Counted Canvas Work woman and the Hardanger lady that you and I were in, videos.
I owe you for dragging me to those. Oh man.
I'm sure we'll come back and talk more about them, but there were a fair number of places where I was, for lack of better, just appreciating the artistic and appreciating that I was seeing it in person, you know, just admiring. I mean, for kind of like going to the Woodlawn Needlework Show. I am so glad that I'm standing in front of this piece of needlework, that I am able to see it in person. But in no way was I really thinking, oh man, I need to go home and do some lilies or some, you know, or anything like that, you know. And I think that's a little bit just about where I get my design ideas from. I mean, maybe it was some sort of subconscious. I don't want to be taking, I don't know. I was not in any way thinking about design ideas. I don't know how else to put it. And it wasn't something that I thought ahead of time. I must keep that part of my brain shut off. It wasn't that. I think in a lot of ways my brain was just so focused on so many other aspects of it that maybe that element of the creative side just wasn't as tuned in. I don't know. I was just so appreciating the beauty of seeing so much needlework in person. That's what I love. I love to be able to see those kinds of things. And who knows, you know, who knows what subtle influences might play out in the end, but I just, that was my take on it.
I'm just curious and curious with you in particular, because so many of your design ideas come from such non-needlework sources.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, I would think you would not be influenced just because that's not where you look for inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you're still, you're in a building full of designs of all types. And so at some point, you got to take a look.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I just poking around in your head, Arlene, you know?
No, I get it. And I do wonder, especially for some of the designers that, from my perspective, where I think their styles might be very similar, I will say that, you know, myself without naming names, I wonder when they are together at a show like this, do they end up influencing each other or,
yeah,
I don't know. And you know, whether they do that on purpose or whether, you know, there's some good brainstorming that happens and actually from some of that brainstorming comes collaborations, which, yep, are just wonderful. So, I mean, the whole hotel is just filled with so much creativity and so much talent. You know, there's inevitably going to be good things that come from that. I'm not quite sure what will come from my head in all of that.
Right, right.
But.
Well, there were three collaborations between designers that I found that exciting and interesting, that, mm-hmm, that they would put their heads together and say, hey, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, that was fun. And that was a dimension. I'm sure it's been done in the past, mm-hmm, but, to have three of them in the same show. Yeah, there was certainly three, the basket of whatevers with Needle Maybe Designs. And, I'm not even going to try to remember the names. Never mind.
Okay.
But to me, that was a dimension that maybe we haven't seen before at that, you know, that number. I'm sure there have been collaborations, mm-hmm, but that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun, yeah, to see that.
Yes.
And, so it just, yeah, it's just interesting little things. That textured treasure needlepoint.
Yeah.
Arlene, I didn't know she existed. I've talked about her.
How could you have been at that show the last 2 years and not seen her? Like, I do not understand. I know you're very busy. I know you were there solo for the last 2 years. I know you were running around like crazy. You did so much, but I don't understand how you didn't see her.
I don't either. I don't either, but I will never miss her again.
Okay.
I didn't even know she existed.
Mm-hmm.
That is some unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some brilliant charted canvas needle point people. Mm-hmm. We've talked about two of them already. There are several of them, but that, boy, her work. Well, I mean, I went back on Sunday and got four of her charts. It was like, mm-hmm, I am not walking out of here without multiples of hers.
Yep. Yep. And I bought two of the four that you got.
Did you? Yeah.
Well, when you were doing it, what show were you doing with Vanna where you were showing your charts?
Well, that would have been Friday night, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I got the From Dawn to Dusk and also the Starburst one.
Yeah.
That's just gorgeous stuff. Absolutely. Yep.
And creative. I've not seen design work like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think whatever she does, I've not seen that kind of thing. I mean, yeah, some of the elements are fairly typical, but the way she combines them, I've just not seen. And holy smokes. Yeah. I said to Marga, I was working on videos and we really needed to hit the road. I said, I'll be right back. I'll be right back. I have to come back with some of these charts. That's beautiful stuff. A textured treasure needlepoint.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I tell you, if anyone's interested in charted canvas, you know, look at the people, Debbie, Curdy, and so on and so forth, but also look at this because it's unique stuff. And like you said, she's been there every year for how many years? And I never looked. Can't believe it.
Well, and it was interesting as I made circles around all those floors again, especially on Friday night and Saturday morning when I was distinctly trying to avoid interrupting any sales transactions that were happening. And so I was very much an observer. So I feel like I saw like the names of every place that was there and everything. And obviously Nashville is very much a cross-stitch show, but I was very in tune to looking for what else can you find here? And there were a few counted canvas work. Not many, just two or three, the Hardanger woman. And you know, of course, looking for those others appeals to me because I do others, you know, I do right. You. And it must be worth it for them to go. Otherwise they wouldn't be returning to the show year after year. I assume they must have enough stores that they sell to, for them to be there. I just want even more stores to pick up their things because it's about exposure in a lot of ways, you know, give something again, you and I always preach this, give something new a try. Texture Treasures are not the first counted canvas work you try. They look a little bit on the complex side, but you certainly could get there. There's some beautiful work out there, and yeah. What great fun to see them. Yeah.
Yep. And then Satin Stitches, I've written her name down twice and, I can't remember it, but
Donna Olson.
Donna Olson, yes.
So when I went in there and said, "Oh, Hardanger," she said, "Do you do this?" I'm like, "Yes." And the first conversation I had, I mean, her room, the display in there, she had it, you know, multiple board of some kind that were all around the room. These beautiful pieces, most of them all white. There was a few elements of color here and there or monochrome other than white, but mostly all white. And a high level of Hardanger, not just a little doodad kind of thing. She had a few small things. She definitely did. But it was definitely a lot of large pieces, beautiful elements to those large pieces, some very unique elements to those large pieces. And as I was having this conversation with her, I was telling her that I've done a few small things, but I had one large thing, relatively speaking, large thing that I had done. And I said, you know, I think there's a good chance it was one of your designs. And I knew where I'd bought it. I couldn't quite figure out how long ago it was. And I mean, to the best I could describe it, I said, well, it's round. I mean, to the extent that Hardanger could be round, and it's sort of like a diamond in a square kind of thing. And that's as much as I could remember. And you, we both sort of said, oh, well, it might be. But I did, in the place where I still hold on to certain patterns that I've done and just want to keep the pattern, I did pull it out this morning. And sure enough, it was a Satin Stitches pattern from 2007. I don't know if that's as long ago as I did it. I don't remember exactly when I did it, but it was a Donna Olson design that I did, that I have. I should send you a picture of it.
Yes.
That I did. And I did purchase a couple of her designs. Just again, they're just so beautiful. And again, have some aspects of Hardanger that are really unique and special. They're not all, quote, all the same. There's definitely some nice... there's some nice aspects to them that are different.
Yeah. And I haven't seen that much Hardanger in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure if I sat down and held an Yvette Stanton piece, my jaw would drop. I have no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
But that room and what the work, you know, cause it's the designs are mm-hmm. one thing. But then I would have literally sat down in a chair and spent 2 hours just studying the needlework.
Mm-hmm.
It was so tight and so precise.
Mm-hmm.
Every crossbar, every wrapped bar, everything was just spot on perfect and just so beautiful. I mean, it was just really amazing. I'm sure that she's done it forever. And at some point, if you don't get good, you need to quit. But wow, it was just and massive pieces, huge pieces
mm-hmm.
that every one of them just perfect and beautiful. And it was, to me, that was maybe one of the most stunning displays. She didn't have them put up in some fancy way in her room. I mean, they were on boards, they were laying on the couch, laying on tables and things, but it didn't matter. I mean, I just, wow. That was impressive. That was just impressive work. It really was. Yeah.
I'll also put in this little tidbit for anyone who's listening that is a member of EGA, Embroiderers Guild of America. She is featured in the current issue of the magazine.
Yes.
The magazine that's called Needle Arts. And I totally meant to bring the copy of the magazine up with me, and I didn't. but I was reading the article on, and so it gives great background. It's just pure luck of timing that she is just the featured designer, featured artist, whatever it's called, in this current issue. Has a nice 4-page spread of pictures and some of her work, and just gives some nice background to her. She's been around for a while, and this is within the Hardanger stitching community is a well-known designer in that world. There's not that many, but is well-known for her work in that world. And if you were like me, that usually gets the magazine and usually does peruse through it, you know, pretty soon after getting it. But for whatever reason, when I got that one, I didn't immediately pick it up. And she, Donna, pointed it out to Gary and I when we were in there. I'm like, yes, I recognize that cover. I don't know why I haven't looked through it, but I certainly looked through it once I got home. And, it was really interesting to read. So, yeah.
And side note to that, EGA, whoever did the magazine design and redesign on that magazine, bravo. Bravo. Mm-hmm. Does not look like your standard association magazine. That is really nicely done. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what it when I saw that, it was like, I want to pick that up and read it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a magazine that's well designed, laid out. That's nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Kudos to them, because that's most association magazines just come out of the same old boring boiler pot, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they nice job to EGA on that. Really good. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed the show.
Mm-hmm.
But those two rooms, I keep sticking in my head.
And is that because, again, the majority of the show is cross stitch, and that right. A lot of it is because it's cross stitch, and I'm in no way putting down cross stitch.
Oh no, no, not at all, no.
But
no.
Do these two rooms stick in your head because they are not cross stitch, like just because they were two different things, like that they stand out because
probably.
Of that?
Probably to a degree,
yeah.
but you know, charted needlepoint. I mean, that's I just love doing that, and holy smokes, that stuff is impressive. It really is. Yeah. I really was knocked over by her stuff, and then you know, just the quality of that Hardanger stitching was, it's just stunning. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. Is you know, a building full of cross stitch. And saw some beautiful cross-stitch work. You know, yeah, like you said, not taking anything away from that at all. And then Here are these very different ones. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, so they probably stick in my head as much for that as anything.
Sure, yeah.
Because there was some terrific cross-stitch. That Beth Twist one, what was it?
Consider the Lilies?
Yeah. I mean, that's that original sampler, Blue Flower original sampler, you know, that was, you know, and I've said that with this with Vanna. The work on original samplers is really starting to catch my eye. You know, reproductions, yeah, there's some pretty good stuff, and I've got more than one of them started in process, you know. Ah. But people are doing some really great stuff with original samplers.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of neat to see that evolve out of there. And, you know, original samplers, there's nothing new there. They've been around for a long while. Mm-hmm. But I just think people are really starting to take them to a level.
Yep.
Teresa Baird, who I do not believe was at the show, I did not see her. She's one that stands out for me as doing original samplers. Her 13 colonies and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Really standout stuff. And
What's her company? I know.
Yeah, sure. I'll remember after we quit recording.
Sorry. I don't mean to put you on the spot. Never mind.
Yep. Right after we quit recording, it'll come to me and I'll call you. Yep. How's that?
All right.
All right, Arlene. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. This is almost an hour of a show, and an hour of Arlene and I talking ahead of time. So
time flies.
Happens every time. Every time. Thanks. That was fun.
Yeah, I hope that this provides a little bit of respite for everyone in the world, and just take some time to find things like this, whether it's podcasts or videos or whatever, to take a deep breath, because I think we all need it right now.
We do. We do. Firepoppies.com. Thanks for sponsoring. Go get a stand from her. Make her call. Make her call England again and get another one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Put it right to her there. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Fire Poppies. Thanks, Arlene.
Thanks. Take care.